Oh yeah. Well, why is family for you?
Hey now.
What's up, man? What's up, Army? Sorry about the little delay. We were
That's good.
Right? Now it's cold in here.
I like it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I have to throw some socks on now too. Shit.
Woo!
Oh man. What's up, beautiful people?
How you doing?
Of the World Wide Web?
Man,
can I phone you up or what? You see how I just went from that to this?
You did, you did.
Pretty good,
because,
right?
Because in the other room, we were on my computer, and,
I threw it through the fucking wall just now.
He about punched my computer out the fucking window, and, we're very, very stressed out.
That was 6 seconds ago.
For those of you who have been in the chat room, justin.tv, the stream site that, we normally use, they were having issues, it wasn't popping up, we didn't know if we were gonna be able to do a show or not. About five minutes before we were supposed to go on air, they came back. So here we are. And
here we are.
Man, it's been busy on the website.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the friendliest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, we're the monkeys!
The monkeys
will say we're gonna be around.
Alright,
no doubt. A little singing for you.
Man, it's been busy, man. You know what?
I mean, you can't even blow me right off the bat. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, what happens? You play him in fantasy?
No, look what he said.
Nah! How about them Buffalo Bills?
What about the Lions? Yeah, the Lions lost. Buffalo Bills won.
We'll talk a little bit about NFL. It was a pretty good week for me. One of the fantasy leagues, like one in the WCR league.
Yeah.
And, I lost.
So did I.
Although, 1-1. Listen, man, you had a couple players blow up, you know, a couple of weeks, you know what I mean?
It can't be a coincidence 2 weeks in a row, buddy. I'm just good.
It happens. It happens. But, anyway, I won in, the WCR league and, I lost my other league.
Did
and
you
then,
play?
You know, in our league,
BWR
Nation.
BWR Nation. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
I know Winter Player. There he is. Congrats, Booney says. Thank you very much, Lance.
It was, it was pretty close last night because the guy that I was playing, the BWR Nation, had Jermaine Gresham and Pittsburgh defense. And I think I won by 10 points.
Oh, it was Dino. BWR Nation is, it's the Federation.
No, that's right. I play Dino.
Yeah.
All right, no doubt. That was a good battle, Dino. It came down to last night. I thought you were going to beat me, man, with Jermaine Gresham. And then, I was doing good throughout the night. And then in the fourth quarter, who was it? Cincy had the lead, so they were trying to run down the clock. So they were just kind of running the ball.
You talking the Monday game?
I'm talking last night. Yeah. Right. After Ron, they were trying to run the ball out or run the clock out. So they just kind of ran the ball. And so that's what happened. But that was a good matchup, man. We both did pretty good. I think Aaron Rodgers got you this week, man. I mean, he put up like 80 points, and that's not going to happen every week. But
did he put up 80 points?
About 80 points, yeah.
So he hit like what 400, almost 500 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
Stafford too, man. Stafford too. And then my Buffalo Bills, man. We're playing on Sunday. Thought we were going to lose another game, and E.J. Manuel, with like 2 minutes left on the clock, E.J. Manuel drives the entire
field. E.J. Manuel is the Bills quarterback.
The rookie Bills quarterback. Yeah. Never started in the NFL until this year. He drives
he wasn't
the
even
entire
starter, right? He was like your backup?
No, it was like Kevin Cobb was going to be our starter, and he got hurt. And E.J. got hurt, too, but E.J. was going to come back, you know, before Cobb was. And so they've been going with E.J. E.J.'s been killing it every week, man. We lost to the Patriots in week one.
That was a good game.
That was a real good game. We lost on the final drive, and then this week, we won on the final drive.
That was like one of the most insane comebacks I've seen in a long time.
That's pretty good.
It was crazy. It was literally like 6 seconds? What was it?
There was 6 seconds left on the clock, and then we had to kick the ball back to him, and they went for like a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
But I was sacked him. So
but you guys had to drive the whole field.
Yep. Yep.
And yeah, right at the last few seconds, you guys got to touch. The guys are crying. They're on their knees praying.
EJ,
it's like they
EJ
won
was
the Super
crying.
Bowl.
EJ was crying.
Yeah.
First big game.
First win as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a pretty good week. I mean, your Lions wound up losing.
We lost. We were winning the entire time, and we had a field goal block near the very end. That kind of started the downward slide in momentum, and then Arizona was able to drive and score and get the lead for the first time in the game since the very first drive when I scored 3-0, I think. But we were winning the whole time going at the end. The exact opposite of what we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a good game.
You know what? I
won in fantasy. 2-0.
2-0, yeah. You're doing all right. You know what? I forgot, I brought the phone. You always get the phone, right?
Muted?
You never know, I'll mute it, yeah.
Of course not.
It's muted now.
Alright.
I got the cigs, I got the water, I got one cup of beer that I'm gonna drink. I got stressed out, I wasn't gonna drink tonight, but I got glass of beer. I got the ashtray.
I got mine, but we're right here.
Yeah, can I use it?
We'll put it up there.
There you go.
That works.
For now, and then I'll get mine during the break. But, man, we got a lot to talk about tonight. A busy weekend with the Mayweather fight. Mayweather fight was, judge, CJ Ross.
Yeah.
Taking a lot of criticism.
Lady.
114, yeah, everybody, CJ Ross, and people are thinking,
the dude.
Is dude, right? Yeah. But man, 114.
Look at all the fight the wrong way.
And then, you know what? She came out the next day and she defended it.
Oh, they always do. They'll never see a judge say, I made a mistake.
She was paid off by that. No doubt about it.
Either veterans or the promoters, like old boys. But either way, you will never, and there's many classic times. I think it was the Sugar Ray Leonard Marvin Hagler fight. There's one famous fight where a judge got it pretty wrong. Well, that was a close debate fight. But either way, they would go after the fight with the reporter, watch the fight over, and sit there and explain why they had the bullshit card they
did.
Right. And they'll have to do it with a straight face. They'll have to actually sell you like they really believe it. What is total shit?
Yeah, 114, 114.
Six rounds for Floyd.
Right.
Six rounds for Canelo.
I gave Canelo maybe two rounds. I gave him one round. I gave him the first or second.
Yeah.
And then Mayweather was the rest of the fight. How she saw six and six is beyond.
Well, there was some
she close. She said it was the jab.
How do you jab again?
Her defense.
Oh, dude.
The jab.
I'll never box.
Well, you want me to stand up?
Just jab, like this. Flick it out there. You don't do this.
All right. She said that it was the jab that we're connecting. And give me a break.
Bottom line is there were some rounds because Mayweather's not a very explosively offensive fighter. In fact, he's known the exact opposite. Incredible defense.
Yeah.
So there were some rounds that were close rounds in that, like, nobody clearly won the round. I mean, it was pretty obvious to me Mayweather won every round of the fight. Might be able to give him the first, maybe the second.
Maybe the second, right.
But that's being generous in my opinion. But either way, in a fight where the rounds are close, you could say, it's a close round, fuck it, I'll go Canelo. But if enough close rounds pile up, all of a sudden, by the end of the fight, when it's clear just as a whole that Mayweather's winning, they do the marquee queens, I forget how to say that traditional bullshit, but there's a boxing rule. You do, 10-point muzz each round. And when you're doing it round by round and you're saying, that was a close round, I'll give it to Canelo. You do that enough times, and on paper, you've got all of a sudden a 6-6 fight. But then when the fight's over, it's like obvious Mayweather won as a whole.
I would like...
It just looks stupid on the breakdown.
I would like somebody from the Nevada State Athletic Commission to go back and sit down with her and
probably do
and watch that fight.
These guys are
what were you watching to judge that 114-114? And let her explain round by round what she saw and if she changes her mindset.
She didn't. Right. The next day. And Keith Kaiser is the same guy that allowed Steve Mazzagatti to referee UFC
fights. And he's taking a lot of heat.
And they will show him shit where Steve Mazzagatti's letting guys get hurt,
right.
Ruining guys' legacies. That John Jones fight where like he's got a loss on his record forever. Matt Hamill.
Dana can't stand him, right?
No, he can't stand Mazzagatti. Right. Well, the most recent example is World Series of Fighting. John Fitch, very controversial, was cut from UFC. He was a boring fighter. He cost a lot of money. And he lost a couple of fights.
Controversial.
It's IAL.
Yeah.
Look it up while I'm talking. I'm ready.
Wait a minute. In the chat room, is it controversial or controversial? Maybe it's a New York accent.
Join the group chat.
I don't think I am. He always corrects me. I'm correct. We were in the car today. What was it today?
He drove by the CBS.
I messed up today.
Memorized by the building. I said mesmerized. He said mesmerized, same thing. I said, no, it's not even close to the same thing.
Yeah, alright. I was wrong.
Controversial.
Scholl that Scrawny
beat. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he says you're right, but he's wrong too.
Nah, I don't think so.
Go look it up on dictionary.com. Controversial.
Seal?
No,
controversial?
Yeah.
Controversial.
Controversial. C-O-N. T-R.
Controversial.
I-A-L. Sorry. Yeah, controversial.
Alright,
you can say it either way, honestly.
Say it. What do you guys think? Controversial or controversial?
Don't twist. I didn't say seal.
Controversial. Controversial.
Yeah.
Okay. Or controversial.
By the way, I didn't say controversial. I said controversially. Now you're screwing me off. A controversial... fuck it.
Either way. I'm right, he's wrong. Right?
No,
alright.
No,
speaking of our chat room, man, get to our live chat room, WZRonline.com. Chat, WZRonline.com.
This fucking no, either way, like I was saying, like Steve Mazzagatti in the example I was giving with John Fitch fought Josh Berkman, on a World Series Fighting Show. What happened was he guillotined John Fitch, and that's a choke that could crush your windpipe. It could kill you.
Right.
And the guy was face down. He was unconscious, and Mazzagatti standing right there staring at it.
Yeah.
Berkman lets go himself.
Right.
Biggest win of his career.
No one there is over.
Biggest win of his career. Right, right. He could have let go. Fitch might have snapped too, and all of a sudden, every such a fight, he loses. And
right.
He's like, I don't want to hurt this guy.
Right.
Potentially kill him.
Made the ref look like an idiot.
Kill him.
And then when he let go, the guy was out.
The guy was out, and the referee's like, okay, it's over. But if it was up to the ref, and he left the choke until the ref pulled him off, he could have really hurt that.
Yeah.
And Dana White,
I have nothing to do with work.
Yeah, that's the most example. The most recent example. And Dana White's like, that's not even my company. I give a shit about work, but I do care about the fighters. And this fucking clown, Mazzagatti, he's gonna let somebody get seriously hurt.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or seriously hurt.
You asshole, man. All right, so check it out, man. This is what we're gonna do in hour numero uno.
I like Robbie.
hour number one. What?
I was just gonna make a joke. He said, you have a choice. Join the WZR TV chat room, WZRonline.com
/Jed.com.
There you go. Or get knocked out by the Big Show.
Oh, Big Show.
That's Kenny 22.
The trend that's going on.
Sophie's choice or whatever.
So we're going to run down Night of Champions from Sunday night. You had some problems early on with the stream and the computer.
Almost threw my computer through the window that night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a rough couple days around here.
I'm known to have a short fuse.
And then Monday Night Raw from last night, we're going to talk about that too. And then the big news that we haven't talked about, because you said it last week, man, it seems like the day after WZR TV ends, big, all
huge story. We were considering doing a breaking news.
We were going to come on here and do something.
We were going to do an audio, not a TV thing, but because we were like, we got to wait 6 fucking days to talk about this huge story, and that huge story is
Jim Ross has retired from WWE. That is not the case in the least bit. They are pissed off. They were pissed off, and they have been for weeks about the WWE 2K. What's the
2K14
symposium?
Panel for sure.
Yeah, the panel. They've been pissed off for a while. They brought him in for a meeting last week and basically forced him into retirement, aka your fight,
aka 20 years.
Right. It's just a crazy story. So we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna save all the news for hour number 2. We're gonna get through Monday Night Raw and Night of Champions in hour number 1. In hour number 2, we'll talk all the news and rumors, other big stories over the course of the week. Today broke that SoCal Bow, not really new news, that happened last month.
30th.
Was that 29th or
30th?
29th or 30th.
Okay. So a couple, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Right. A little over 2 weeks.
She was about the same time she was fired.
Almost on the dot.
Yeah. So she was arrested for DUI, driving under the influence.
Couple of drugs.
Driving under
leaving the scene of the accident.
Leaving the scene of the accident.
And that's the bigger charge. Yeah, I mean, it was one other one on there. But So yeah, a couple of charges there and mugshots online. If you want to check that out, where can you see it?
TNAWrestlingNews.com. Right there, you can see it over at the mugshots up. Pretty good mugshots.
Hey, I got a pretty good mug right here.
Well, I tell you what, before we took showers earlier, man, we were scruffy.
Woo!
Separate showers. We had Mayweather. We kind of talked about that. Mayweather wound up winning the fight. What else do we have here? Hulk Hogan's TNA contract expiring on October 1st. That is going to be interesting. A lot of contracts are expiring. Mickey James' contract recently expired. Ken Anderson's contract recently expired.
AJ Styles.
So we'll talk about all of their contracts
coming up this year.
Sting later this year. Well, Sting's not a
very
yearly,
beginning.
They're
all coming around. Yeah, AJ Styles, Sting.
No Surrender. We have the big Impact. They drew a pretty decent rating.
SmackDown. The prize money drew an incredible rating.
2.0. Yeah.
Is that in the final number? Yeah. But the viewership was up the highest since April. The final rating was the highest since August.
Right.
Beginning of August.
Yeah.
Good ratings, and we also have UFC this Saturday.
I like that, how you covered for me when I was taking it.
I didn't know you were going
to. That's why I like working with this guy, man, because if I take a sip of water, he'll see me taking a sip of water, and he'll know we can't have dead air.
That's good, man. But John Jones, Alexander Gustafsson,
right,
Gustafsson, however you want to say it, controversial way to say his name. This Saturday on
That's the next one, huh? This Saturday.
This Saturday, yeah. We also got John Jones, Alexander Gustafsson, Henan Burrell, the interim champion of the Bantamweight division, against Eddie Wineland, and then we got Brendan Shaw versus Matt Mitrione.
That can't be a pay-per-view.
That's a pay-per-view.
A pay-per-view?
Yeah.
I guess John Jones would be
in Toronto, so it'll be a hot crowd. Canadian.
Love that shit.
Yeah. So yeah, it should be a good show.
No doubt. Real quick, we'll get the plugs out of the way. I did want to, we found out last week was, last Wednesday was, September 11th, all those people that passed, almost 3,000 people died on that day back in 2001.
Is that the number, 3,000?
It was 2,987. 2,987.
Were you watching a TV show the next day where they were literally saying every fucking name?
Yeah.
I heard
they do it every year.
Okay.
They do it every year. They bring up the family members and they read off 10 or 15 names. Okay. And then the last name that they read off is their family member that passed away during the bombing. And then the following year, they bring different families on, so each family gets to, recognize their family member that passed. Man, Washington, D.C., you guys have heard about it all over the news. Just the deranged, crazy, ex-Marine walked in, or ex-Navy
SEAL
guy. I don't know if he was on the SEAL team. SEAL team's like, you got the Navy, right. Walked in there yesterday and wound up shooting up the place and 12 or 13 people dead, and many others injured. So,
he was by himself, right? Because originally
they had thought that there was two or three different people, but,
it
was just him. All those people, crazy people.
There's some fucking nutjobs
in this world, right? Unbelievable. So rest in peace to all the people that, passed away yesterday. Just crazy. WWE SmackDown being taped tonight in Cincinnati, Ohio. U.S. Bank Arena. No delay tonight. They're on the same time zone.
Is Ohio on YouTube?
They are. I thought it was Central Time.
Yeah, you think it's an hour, right?
I think, right? I don't know. There's a, here, you know what? But, what's the current time in, Cincinnati? What's happening here?
Here we go.
Current time in Cincinnati, Ohio. Let's see if it's 8:26 p.m. on the East Coast. Maybe a little clock that pops up right here in the
You can check it like that.
Anyway, so yeah, they SmackDown spoilers should be out. I know. I'm the same way, brother. I'm the same way. You know what? We can go after the show.
We can.
One room here. There's one more.
Close to 10, right?
No, close to midnight. Oh. but anyway, so we're gonna have WWE SmackDown scores coming up about 10:30, 11 o'clock Eastern time tonight. So
remember that show, WKRP in Cincinnati?
WKRP.
Old sitcom.
Number two. No. Now the one is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Right?
Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah. I never got into that. My old boss.
People say it's great, right?
And my old boss, Brian, he was telling me he's gotta watch the show. I tried watching him a couple times and didn't like it. The little scrawny fucker in it with the goofy Kermit the Frog voice. He was in that movie Horrible Bosses.
I've never seen it, so
he's a funny little son bitch.
How was your Breaking Bad finale?
Oh, fuck me. It wasn't the finale, but it was
Oh, really?
I thought it was amazing. Well, I swear to God, I lost my breath a few times.
Yeah?
Like, and like you get like fucking emotions.
Hey, did you ever see the Jimmy Fallon thing that
yes,
I was
yes.
it good?
It was brilliant.
Yeah?
I put
yeah.
it on Facebook. You got they don't know my Facebook.
Well right. plug it.
Well it's a personal Facebook.
Oh, alright, no doubt. But yeah, Jimmy Fallon did this. I had no idea. Not Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. And he did this whole thing. I had no idea what any of
I'm not going to break it down, but it was like they covered every major thing. They had Gus, the black, smooth, cool talking guy, and they had that little pink doll behind him. I don't think people caught that. That little flying in the forward shot they showed.
Yeah.
They had him in his fucking tidy whities, which Cranston always does. They had the guy always saying bitch, which he always does. They had,
I watched about half of it and then shut it off.
The old school Mexican guy that rings the bell and talks, they hit Jay Leno playing that part.
Did they? Jay was in it?
At the very end, Jimmy's like talking to somebody, you don't see who it is, you see him hitting the bell, which is what they did on Breaking Bad. Long description to explain that, but anyway, he's like, so you do want me to take over the show? Ding ding, which means no, you don't want me to take over the show. Ding 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 ding, yes. And then he turned the camera around
and Jay Leno acting like,
Hilarious.
All right, so we'll get the plugs out of the way, then we're going to get into it. We got about a half an hour. We're going to do 15 minutes on each, man. Night of Champions, Monday Night Raw, then we're going to come back. We really need to get into Jim Ross stuff.
That's a big one.
The way that they've treated him over
Such
the years.
Bullshit.
You know, it really is.
Like, there's very few things I get, like, worked up about with wrestling, but that Jim Ross shit really bugs me.
And he's so classy, man. He's so classy.
You know what I'm talking about now?
No, let's save it for hour number two. Like, we're gonna get into it, dude, because I know,
Blair, you know, what the
right.
fuck is,
yeah, really, right. What did Jim do to,
what's he supposed to do? The guy's talking about his dead fucking kid. Hey, stop, it's not about your dead kid, Rick.
Yeah.
It's about this little video game.
While Rick's emotional, too.
While Rick, he had never spoken about that publicly. He's telling everybody what a classic company. Yeah,
save it. And hour number two.
What an asshole. Who made that call?
You can see. Boone's pissed off over it.
I'm God freaking off, man. I am a WWE fan. Yeah,
and
it was WWE, but I'm talking since NWA. I followed him.
Yeah,
I was a WWE fan as a kid, then I gradually became a WWE fan during the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And he went with the Attitude, so he was with WWE, like, so I followed him over.
What they've done to him on TV over the years, too, it's just, it all culminates with what happened last, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Alright, so we'll get the plugs out of the way. Night of Champions, Monday Night Raw, and then hour number two, run down the news, the rapid fire. Still can't take live phone calls to work on.
We are getting close. I think we might have had a breakthrough in figuring this thing out.
We do have a big breakthrough.
Yeah, we're going to have to really sit down and
yes. So we're going to be, hopefully next week. We didn't have time this week. Got real busy with the pay-per-view. But,
well, we could have set it up, but then all of a sudden, Justin TV decided to be a stubborn bitch right before we go on the air.
You're right.
And we were going to be early.
We were always late.
We said, we want to be on time.
Yep.
SmackDown is good. Get off the air at 10. Let's be on time. Everything's set up. We had 20 minutes to spare.
Dead.
We go in there to put our final plugs up, and Justin TV.
I saw the chat room, and there were like five people in the chat
room. That was your first. Yeah, I thought we just had shitty numbers, and I'm like, yeah, just shitty numbers. And they're like, no, something's going on here. And then when we went and checked, sure enough,
yeah,
you were right. I was wrong.
Yes, yes,
very controversial.
Say that.
I love that.
I will say it.
That's like a running thing with me and Boone, dude, or with Boone and I, you know what I mean? We gotta,
I wouldn't have corrected that. Alright, so let's get plugged out of the way, and then we'll get into it. Official website is WZR Radio, WZRonline.com. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter as well. Facebook.com/WZR Army, YouTube.com/WZR Archive, and Twitter as well. Just go to WZRonline.com, top navigation bar. Social media tab, drop down menu, got all the links to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter right there.
Oh, damn right.
All the news.
My doctor kind of like your jet.
Oh, man. All right, so get there, WZRonline.com, and our live chat room, on in progress, as always, taking your live questions out of the chat room, WZRonline.com/chat, WZRonline.com/chat. Yeah, there are lots of people in there as always tonight.
All right, let me get this out of the way. We'll officially finish with the anything here,
sir.
I was promised we'd go to the post office a few times. I was asked to remind you, which I did twice, about this back here. So you can go ahead and give your explanation. You're probably gonna get a shoot. You're gonna be legitimately mad when we go to the commercial, but I ain't taking any shit. I did my job. You asked me on air to remind you, and I did remind you. So I did my part, just so you know, Remy.
Alright, so right here, we didn't have enough time.
Gorgeous t-shirts,
right? The gorgeous t-shirts, right? T-shirts. We got it set up. I wrecked this last week when we came on here. I just get
yeah, we need to fix that.
Tore this up. Yeah. So we do need to, we need to fix.
That's why I look like disgusting behind us there.
So, the post office. You're acting like I never took you to the post office.
We went to the Albany.
We went to the post office.
And then we drove by the one we needed to do. And then the next day I reminded you again. And you
we
said,
didn't have time because it got busy. The Jim Ross thing broke.
Yeah.
It was busy all day. So, I promise you, I promise that this week, man, we're gonna go to the post office. You know that I get, you know what comes on Friday,
mm-hmm.
and when that comes on Friday, we need to get, what's his name, t-shirt out. He asks for it every week on the round of time.
Remy, right?
Anthony Remy. Anthony Remy. That's what it is.
Right? I don't remember your name, buddy.
He asks for it, every week. Sorry about that. But we're gonna get it out, and, we went to the wrong post office. We've been looking for a package that never came here.
Yeah.
And, we went to, the Albany post office, and they told us, fuck out of here.
This package is beautiful.
So WWE United Champions from Sunday night. I know you missed the first part.
I saw.
You know?
No, I saw everything. And the first match or two because of the screen. But I skipped Breaking Bad and watched that the next day. But fucking as a whole, I thought that shit sucked shit.
It wasn't that good, bro.
It was like Raw. They opened the show up with a 30-minute promo.
Yeah. Yeah,
like they did
with Triple H, right? Well, yeah. We had the pre-show first, and they announced the tag team turmoil match, right?
That was good.
How about the all-star panel that they had up there with Josh Matthews, Alex Riley, who, by the way, Alex Riley, I've been saying he's good, right?
Yeah, as a commentator, he's all right.
Personality,
energy.
Booker T, give it up for Booker
T. I like Booker T.
Booker's all right.
I think the star of the panel, are you about to clown on?
Who's the, Santino?
Yeah.
Santino Marella.
I thought he was hilarious.
He was great.
He's breaking
great.
Down how, you know, you can't teach being a twin.
Right.
Really. You cannot teach being a twin. I tell you, and they kept jumping over him while he was trying to make that joke.
I'm just saying, the all-star panel.
Is that what they call it?
Of Santino Marella, Alex Riley, Josh Matthews, and Booker T.
Bunch of jobbers, and then the guy that won the poll for World Heavyweight Champion.
What was up with that?
And then, the best of the V champion of all time was Hulk Hogan.
The tag team champions, DX.
So what?
That's what I'm saying. It's such a younger candidate now that
they control the options of who, you know, they can't control the votes.
Right.
Turns out they do legitimate polls now.
They were legit.
For case in point, the best U.S. champion of all time was?
Who was it?
Ow! That might be before your time. That's the old school thing.
Oh, yeah. So, two TNA talents, man.
Hogan and Sting.
Hogan and Sting.
Two out of the four poles.
Yeah.
Right? I was shocked. They had Sting as an out. Hogan, I can see. So iconic. Right. Can't skip them. They probably fell off in the swing. Or maybe The Rock. But,
No, wait a minute. I thought, alright, Sting was never in WWE. So this
US
was
U.S. champion.
He was U.S. champion.
The U.S. title was the WWE champion.
Okay.
Migrated out.
Gotcha. Alright, no doubt. So we had the tag team turmoil match. I mean, we talked about it.
What was it called?
Tag team turmoil.
Alright,
we had that during the pre-show. We had,
what did you think of that? It was the Primetime Players.
Primetime Players.
The Real Americans, and Tons of Funk.
Tons of Funk. I thought it was a good match.
I thought it was
pre-show.
Damn good.
Really good,
McIntyre did that fucking flip over
the top.
Nobody was there to catch him, so he just kind of crashed and burned, but it was pretty sweet. The Usos were fucking on fire in that match.
Yeah.
Titus O'Neil, not so much Darren Young, but Titus O'Neil really shined. More so in the match, I guess we'll spoil it, the Primetime Players won.
Right.
Went on to play the Shield for the tag
match. And we knew that going in.
I didn't. I thought you were.
Did you? Because
of Total Divas. I thought they were filming. So I was wrong. You were right. There's points, I have to say that.
Bang!
But, I kind of figured Primetime, but I wanted to disagree with you while I was doing that. But the Uso brothers, they were really good in that match. Primetime Players, more Titus O'Neil, like I said, than Darren Young. But, like, as a whole, that was a pretty damn good match.
Yeah.
Ooh, the other thing I thought was weird was twice during the match they cut the commercial.
They've done it the last couple on the kickoff show, right?
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's weird, man. They've done it the last couple times though. But I had a feeling going in with the Primetime Players, dude, just because Darren Young, all the media attention.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the obvious choice. I was trying to be clever and be like, they're not gonna go with the other choice. Usos, they don't be anything else than Usos. But the one that I want to make before you go to the kickoff show was in the very beginning, Josh Matthews, like the first opening speech he gave, he had to break down all the different ways you could watch the kickoff show. He's like, you watch it on your Xbox, your PlayStation, your Samsung, your WWE app, your YouTube. It was like,
well, you're watching it right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're watching it, you don't need to be told how to watch it. Nobody can hear you if they're not watching it. So why explain? No.
Right. So they open the pay-per-view. Triple H comes out, and I said to you, man, he cuts a babyface promo, right?
Yeah, well, it's worth noting that before, during the kickoff show, Brad Maddox.
Oh, watch out.
Kickoff show.
Kickoff show.
What I said.
You started it.
Okay. Fuck! Damn! I did too. Alright, so during the kickoff show, smoothly that, nothing controversial about that.
Controversial.
But, Brad Maddox walks by Paul Heyman and says, what are you worried about? Blah, blah, blah. And I like the beautiful touch. Heyman didn't shave.
Oh, yeah.
But no, they switched it. Long story short, they switched it to a no-DQ match. Because Heyman was like, oh, I'll just punch the ref in the face, give a off. I punch can't touch me.
Way to spoil what you're going to do, Paul. You know what I mean, dude?
In the end, it was genius because it allowed what happened to happen.
Exactly.
Spoil that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right back. He'll spoil it. But yeah, so anyway. But yeah, that was the, that makes this,
By the way,
you called Heyman. Yeah, we'll get to that. But that was just setting up the background because Triple H comes out, then Heyman comes out, and he said he cut the babyface promo. But yeah, Heyman made a no DQ match, or Brad Maddox did, to Heyman. And then while in the ring for the promo, Triple H is basically a babyface. He's telling Heyman, you're not...
Heyman went great here.
Yeah, you're not weaseling your way out. What, they call him the Walrus now instead of the Walrus?
Is that Paul?
Yeah, it's Paul.
Who is it, Michael Cole on commentary?
Paul on that? Everybody does. Yeah. They get a chance now and everything.
All right. Yeah, Paul was great here, man. He just basically, like Boone said, tried to weasel his way out of the match, you know, saying, I got a family at home, I got two kids, and you can't do this if Punk gets his hands on me, I'm
he doesn't want to beat me or grapple me or wrestle me, he wants to
hurt me.
Yeah. So, long story short, you know, what was it? Curtis Axel grabs somebody and says, I know what it is. You're mad that the day I debuted, I whooped your ass in a match Triple H. And he said, May 25th, and Triple H said, wow, you even remember the date.
The stuff with, what was it? Curtis Axel saying, or Triple H said it, and then Curtis followed it up where, you do have faith in me, Paul, right? Or you do trust me.
He said, Paul, you do believe in me, right? He's like, you don't have to believe in yourself on this one.
Right. Something like that.
But Paul's like, yeah, kind of believe in you. It was a good way. It was a good promo between Paul and Triple H, but not on pay per view.
That should have been done.
I like it just as any excuse to hear Heyman talk.
I love it.
Yeah, right. I'll take it. But another long story short, they set up an impromptu Intercontinental title match here. Triple H is the first guy I see when I cross the curtain to go back. Backstage, I'll send out the sound of Axel for the Intercontinental title.
That's a good question. I'm gonna ask it anyway.
Yeah.
It smells like weed right now. You smell that? We smelled it the other night too, and it smells skunk. Like a skunk.
Yeah. My window's open.
But it smells like pot. No, it just came in just in the last couple of minutes.
We got the wind
the other night.
Yeah, I don't know.
So like Booth said, Triple H walks his way to the back, and the first guy that he finds is
Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Kingston comes out. On paper, looks like a good match for the Zach with Kofi.
Absolutely.
And it was a pretty good match to kick off the show. The crowd kind of died out towards the middle of the match. And then who won it? Was Curtis Axel.
He retained the
DDT or whatever it was.
Whatever.
So he retained there. Let's see. They did the polls throughout the night where they asked, you know, who's greatest WWE champion.
First one was, I think, Intercontinental.
Is that who it was? And Chris Jericho wound up taking that, right?
I think
it was Chris Jericho. Hunt Top Man was in there too.
Yeah. Honky had that streak where he was the longest running.
I'm the greatest Intercontinental champion of all time.
Hunt Top Man.
Let's see.
Pat Patterson, the first ever. Ravishing Rick Rude. I was surprised they had Rick Rude because it was a long standing beat. He's dead now. So maybe that. But he was that famous during the Monday Night Wars. He appeared on a taped edition of Raw. And on the exact same time, if you flipped over to TNT, he screwed WWE and jumped ship, and he was on a live Nitro. And WWE purposely put him out because they knew Raw was taped, and they would watch Raw. Where they see Rick Rude come out with DX, they say, "All right, go." Rick Rude goes out live on Nitro. Bam!
So on both head shows, to head on both
at
shows
at the exact same time. How is Rick Rude in two places at the same time?
Awesome.
Yeah, that were some assholes back in the day.
Yeah, that was pretty official. He had Ricardo Rodriguez backstage teaching Rob Van Dam how to do.
He was asking different things. Spanish, and it culminated with RVD. How do you say World Heavyweight Championship?
RVD.
And they're kind of like, that was easy. RVD. He can only do one hand with a sling, but yeah.
Yeah, AJ.
And then before he leaves, he says, "All right, thanks," and he pats him right on the hurt arm.
We had AJ Lee backstage. She was there with Layla, Oksana, and Alicia Fox.
They all
take off, right? Let's see. And then that led us to our Divas match. It was AJ Lee against Brie Bella, Natalya, and Naomi.
Who?
Divas fight. Natalya.
Natalya.
Natalya. Natalya.
Very controversial.
Controversial. Fuck out of here a bit. AJ Lee wound up, retaining the octopus.
Is that what they call it? The submission hold?
Right, right. Is this where, Natalya. Is this where she did the double sharpshooter?
Yes.
Was
yes.
it?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a cool spot, but it was just, I don't know, like, it didn't seem realistic. Like, this wouldn't really.
It wasn't organic, it was too forced.
Alright, here we're gonna set this spot up.
And the
way that she took her leg.
Yeah, it's almost like they were helping her do it.
They were helping her do it.
Right, yeah.
Seemed forced. But AJ Lee wound up, getting here. Alberto Del Rio and Rob Van Dam for the World Heavyweight title.
Great match.
I had said last week, you know, they're in Michigan, maybe RVD cashes in, or RVD wins the title in Michigan, everybody pops you, Damian stand up, comes out, cashes in, back-to-back 15.
You said Damian was going to cash in during the Brian Orton match.
I did, but that was, no, because Damian stand up's got the world title. Right, Damian Sandow's got the
That's
world title.
You told me after the picture, you were like, remember the 10 minutes left after Brian won, I said, I thought they were going to come out and reverse. I even broke the fast count, which you didn't even know this.
I didn't. I really didn't.
Just the whole story on a roll. We'll get into that. But you said, well, I thought Sandow. And I was like, you know what? That was fucking brilliant because it wasn't even crossing my mind.
Like, I remember saying that, but I thought it was for this match, man. Because I talked about it last week for this match.
You might have said it last week. But we were talking after the paper. We were drunk, too. But you were saying I was expecting Sandow. I'm like, you know what, dude? They should have did that because I did not expect that. So it didn't even cross my mind. Yeah.
That wasn't on Raw last night? We didn't talk about that after Raw?
No.
Alright, let's take it. Alright, no doubt. So we had Alberto Del Rio wound up, retaining here. Really good match.
I thought it was
Del Rio's been on a roll.
Yeah, and so has RVD.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both had great, especially this whole run. Since he's come back, RVD's had some great matches. Del Rio, when they give him time, he has great matches.
Yeah.
And they usually give him time, he's on TV. So.
Let's see. We
but,
had,
the finish is kind of bullshit.
What was the finish?
He puts him in the cross arm breaker. RVD gets the rope, Del Rio won't let go, disqualified. That's
how you're right.
Yeah, that's cheesy. The crowd didn't like that either. No. That shit is all over that.
Paul Heyman backstage with Curtis Axel, basically, you know, saying we can't be disqualified tonight. We've gotta win, otherwise, you know, CM Punk needs his hands on me and it's just gonna fuck with me. Yeah, I'm gonna be martyred, pretty much, right? we had Triple H backstage with Randy Orton. Orton's pissed off. Asking, you know, earlier in the night, Triple H had said in the promo that he wanted everything to be, he wanted to be a straight match with a Shield.
No interference.
No Big Show, no Shield, nobody tonight, right?
No interference allowed.
Exactly. And, so basically he says that, and Randy's pissed off, you know, wanting to know why would you be on the Shield, why would you be on all these people, and, Triple H says, I want to find out if you're really,
I want to make sure I pick the right guy. Yeah.
Pick the right guy, that's cool. Far down
from 2 minutes.
Fandango against The Miz, unadvertised, right, in front of him.
Give him some time, too.
Miz won with a bigger 4-leg lock here, and then, God, last night on Raw, they just destroyed the shit out of him.
How about The Miz's parents on Raw? Oh, man, we talked about that on the Raw commentary. I said they look like the...
Miz looks just like his mother.
They look like this, like the trailer trash. When you go to a WWE event, there's always, like, a bunch of dirtbag, homeless-looking, fat... Beard, fucking, they got their signs.
Way to stereotype, boom.
Dirty, grungy looking t-shirts, and you're like, I'm at a pro wrestling show, you know, and they look like two people you'd see at a pro wrestling show. But yeah, his mom was brilliant.
She wears
the facial.
Oh
my God, his dad was like, just sitting there watching.
He looks like his mother, man. He looks just like his mother. What do you guys think in the chat room about the Miz's parents?
Yeah, Winter's Lair. Miz's dad looks like the It's Still Real to be doing it.
A little bit.
No, I want to thank you for your comedy is true. It's still real to be doing it.
That was good.
Pretty good, right?
And then with somebody on the panel, Steve Cornette
said, saying what they need to be saying.
Somebody was on the panel, and we're like, all right, calm down.
It's all right, man.
Calm down, buddy.
All right, saying what needed to be saying.
I love it. Yeah, go listen to that on the archive. That's pretty fucking good right there, man. Alright, we had, back to the pay-per-view. This is where, so Fandango, or Miz beats off Fandango with the for, Bad Blood.
Good match.
Yeah,
it wasn't for nothing, who cares match. It was
impromptu.
Yeah, impromptu. Good wrestling match.
Good work.
Yeah, I like it.
I already used it. Yeah, good work. CM Punk. Well, I know. I'm giving you credit for the good work. CM Punk, Curtis Axel against Paul Heyman in a handicap match.
Business is picking up, folks. This is where the pay-per-view gets it.
The selling point of the pay-per-view, there were two selling points.
Major selling points.
Two major selling points. Those were Randy Orton against Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, will he finally get his moment and after all these beatdowns, will he finally get the title?
And the other was to see Paul Heyman
finally get his
ass.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
CM Punk finally gets a hold of Heyman.
Exactly.
I mean, almost guaranteed you it happened.
And it happened.
Kind of. Yeah.
And I gotta give this man props. Because last week, he came on here and he said, you know what? It's a handicap match. They're probably gonna do the beatdown, right? CM Punk's gonna get his hands on Paul Heyman, but then somebody's gonna come down and they're gonna make the save.
I was almost a little less than that. I said that he wouldn't even get touched. I said there's two ways it can go. Either fucking Punk finally gets to beat the shit out of Heyman. I said, but that would end the program, and I think they're going to keep it going. Mm-hmm. So they have to find some way that Punk doesn't get a hold of Heyman. So I pretty much said he wouldn't get touched, which he did a little bit.
Right.
Which we'll explain in a second. And I said, what will happen is Punk will beat Axel, eliminate him. It was a handicap elimination match. He gets to get through Axel, then he's got Heyman. Mm-hmm. He got through Axel, and I said, what will happen is he'll either get Heyman, and that'll blow the program off, which I don't think they're going to do. So the only other option is somebody's got to stay in Heyman. So we'll debut a new Paul Heyman guy. It'll either be an NXT guy we've never seen.
We talked about
Sami Zayn. Maybe we said he might be too small. I said, that'd be okay. Punk's small. I said, or it could be Ryback or Big E Langston, because they're two big fuckers that really can't talk to shit.
Right.
Although Langston can kind of
Big E Langston with a baby face.
Yeah, and they're turning face. So you even say, well, it won't be Langston. I like Ryback. Good idea, Matt. Mm-hmm. You grab it. So we were kind of both right on that.
I never call you Matt. I call you
Boom. Whatever.
Yeah.
I got used to Matt again when I lived in Florida.
I don't think I've ever called him Matt in my life.
No, I always say, what up, Boone?
Yeah.
And everybody around, even your sister, like girl.
Yeah, Boone. Everybody calls him Boone up here. But, no, you were pretty much dead on with Ryback. I love it, dude.
I love that shock. Yeah. And I think it's great for Ryback. Because he's got the look.
He does.
And he's not the greatest worker, but he doesn't need to be. He just manhandles people like Goldberg.
Reminds me a little bit of Steve Austin.
reminds me of Goldberg. But and book him the same way Goldberg, you know, doesn't necessarily squash his body, have a streak, but have him be a manhandling fucking beast. It's not very controversial to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Fucking
wheel.
You didn't like the Dusty promo last time.
We'll save that. We only got 10 minutes.
I
love Ryback. Now Ryback said somebody to talk for him, as we saw on Raw. Just on the cheek for that.
So Ryback puts Punk at the table, and then
Carries him off. He pumps his fucking back all of the shit during that spot.
He got got.
Yeah,
he got
got. But basically what happened was, Punk got through Axel, had his handcuffs in his boot. He had to wrestle like 10-15 minutes.
I know.
That fucking hurt.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Take the handcuffs out, handcuffs hang his hands behind his back so he can't tap out real quick to give up.
Right.
So now he can't just wait, I give up. You know, fuck it, you gotta take the beating because you can't tap. He starts screaming tap, but I guess it doesn't count. So anyways, he's handcuffed. Punk has a kendo stick because both him and Axel.
All right, how about the padding underneath Paul Heyman?
Yeah, I did. So he starts whipping the shit out of his leg. And then he takes a page out of the movie A Bronx Tale. Anybody who saw the movie knows what I'm talking about. It's a famous scene with the bikers in the bar. It's a fucking awesome scene. I'll break it down in 2 seconds for you. It's an Italian mafia bar, okay? Exactly. Italian mafia bar, and it's these biker assholes, and their gimmick is they go to bars to just terrorize these bars. So they're gonna go terrorize this bar. They won't let them drink. So the main mob boss walks in, and the biker guy's like, well, let us have beers. Like, our money's not good here. And he's like, a couple beers. That's all we want, a couple beers. We'll be out of here. He's spoken like a gentleman. Give the man a beer. They give all the bikers the beers, they shake the beers, they start spraying them everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Mafia says, no, that wasn't nice. Now you've got to leave. He said, fuck you, the biker did.
And then
the mafia guy keeps his cool, says, turns around, walks over, shuts the door, locks it, turns around and says, now you can't leave. Bunch of fucking mob guys come out, they beat the shit out of all the guys, drag them out, smash their bikes, and then right before he leaves, he grabs the main guy and he says, look at me! I did this to you. Fucking throws him down. And Punk said, right before he had this kendo stick.
I was waiting for this.
Punk grabs the kendo stick and says, remember, I did this to you. Okay. Bam. So he's
Talking the shit out of
him. All right, no doubt. So he took a page out of Bronx Tail. Very nice.
No doubt.
That was before he could, and he sets his head up. He says, I broke your heart, huh? Now I'm going to break your face. Before he can, that's when Ryback came out. So he did get a little bit of his hands on Punk, which makes you want to see him finally get his hands on him so that program keeps going. We got a new face and Ryback because nobody gives a shit about Curtis Axel.
Now
we got Punk Ryback and Heyman talking to us.
It's going
to
be Punk Ryback in Battleground.
Yeah, so it's a little different. It's more interesting and it keeps the thing going, which means more Punk Heyman promos, which is a great thing.
We had a great
no Punk on Raw though.
No Punk on Raw.
Yeah, it's selling the injury.
Yeah, probably. We had Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler for the U.S. title. Dean Ambrose wound up retaining here. Pretty good match. Well, at that
match,
they kept
it short. Ziggler.
Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns against the Primetime Players. Once again, no title changes on this entire pay per view until the main event. So there was nothing until Daniel Bryan won the WWE title. So the finish of this saw who was it? Roman Reigns was in there with Titus O'Neil and Dylan with the Spear, right?
I believe.
For the pick, right?
So this is the match that Titus O'Neil looked like a superstar.
Right? He looked great. He looked right. Awesome. And Darren Young, too. Ever since Darren Young came out, he looks a lot, he's got like a lot of passion. You know,
you can see that he's got a lot more energy, a lot more enthusiasm.
Right.
Titus O'Neil, meanwhile, is banking off of all this extra attention that they're getting as a team because they're already a team and he's shining. I thought O'Neal was great in that match.
Yeah, O'Neal is really good. Yeah, no doubt. And then the main event was Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton for the WWE title. Kind of a surprise here. I didn't expect, I mean, you said that you thought there was a possibility that Daniel Bryan would win the title here. I said, I don't think there's any chance that they're going to do that. I think they're going to continue this Daniel Bryan being the underdog. He's going to chase after the heel, chase after the WWE title, and they wound up giving them the title, and then that kind of leads up into Monday Night Raw.
They did the fast count.
So. They did the fast
count. And then it was 10 minutes after that, so I thought they were going to have Triple H come out, either restart the match or strip them right then and there.
Right.
And they did the long celebration. So you're waiting for something, you're waiting for something, they go off the air, and like, oh shit, I guess.
Brian's WWE.
Afterwards, I said, that fast count, you're like,
I'm doing the play-by-play.
Yeah, sometimes he won't look at the screen. He'll be ready typing.
So a lot of times, Boone came in and said there was a fast count, and then everybody on my Facebook page, too, kept saying, there was a fast count. What was up with that? I had to go back and rewatch to find out, what it was all about, and then you told me, and then, and that leads us right into Monday Night Raw. We'll talk about that. We got about 5 minutes. We're going to skip through Raw. We'll go towards the high points.
There's really only a couple things we talked about.
Right.
Raw was trash. Yeah, and there's only, two or three more roles until Battleground. They didn't set up anything. Maybe a
rematch.
Some kind of stipulated Triple H to be the ref, something with the referee probably, because Armstrong was fired, I believe.
Something Cody Rhodes too. Yeah, they fired Armstrong. Yeah, they fired him in the backseat.
We'll talk about that after the break.
Alright, so that led us into Raw. The end of the champions leads us right into Raw, right? So they bring out Daniel Bryan comes out.
They should have plugged
Raph. No doubt. So Daniel Bryan comes out, and he's the new WWE champion, right? He's gloating about how he finally did it. Actually, before he could even talk,
he said there's only one word I have to say about last night's match. He takes the title, holds it up, and yes!
So that brings Triple H comes out, right? And he gets
He's storming down. He's got the serious look on his face.
I
want to call some. Brings out Scott Armstrong. We see some replays. They show an original Scott Armstrong pin. And then he says, one, two. He's counting over the video. So you can see the cadence is already used of the pin.
Cadence?
Speed. That's what Triple H said. Yeah,
I
thought cadence was like something about your tone of voice, but I guess it's also like.
So cadence means what? Wonder why they named them cadence.
Well, it's just a name too.
Right, but it could mean something. You know.
Yeah, cadence is like the cadence of your voice, like how you speak, and then I guess in this instance it's timing or the speed or something what you count. But anyways,
you're
actually spending 10 minutes. Anyways, he shows the original cadence of a Scott Armstrong pin. One, two. Three. Now let's see last night. One, two, and time to get to two, he already hit three, so he's like, here's what we need to do.
And they do the split screen and everything else, like we were talking about.
And then they say, here's what we need to do. you need to give me the title, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, because it'll take forever.
Right.
Basically, he doesn't want to give him the title, and Orton, by the way, comes out. He's demanding to fucking give me the title back.
Right.
Blah, blah. Like, no.
No, I got this. I got it.
We're going to keep the title vacant for now until further review. We're going to investigate, blah, blah, blah. Because also, Scott Armstrong looked at Daniel Bryan and said they're on to this.
Yeah,
Daniel Bryan was in on it.
But Daniel Bryan gave him a look like, huh?
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
For
us, what do you mean? You know?
And Triple H caught that. He brought that up in the front.
Well, obviously, it'll be revealed later that somebody on the McMahon regime was in on
this guy or
maybe Shane.
Something.
Here comes the money. Ron Jeet.
Ron Jeet said that.
That motherfucker's good with
the thing. Ron Jeet, listen, bro.
I don't like that one either.
You're good, but you're not that good.
Yeah.
Hashtag,
that was a Ryan Clark prediction.
You're good, but you're not good, that good.
Is that what you said?
That's
what I was. Because it was like a Ryan Clark prediction. He said, well, Shane McMahon's theme song, Here Comes the Money.
Yeah.
Somebody paid off Scott Armstrong.
That's my boy Ron Jeter.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah. I like the idea. If they do it, I think that's brilliant. But anyways, long story short, right before Triple H goes to take the title, Brian doesn't want to give it to him. And right when he goes to do this and take the title back, Orton hits him with the RKO.
You're right.
Brian Triple H takes the title.
Right.
We go backstage and Stephanie
was on a roll there.
Oh, the fucking loud screech. I'm sorry for your ears. My ears are still ringing from that last night.
How's the video on the audio tonight? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
They can't do the thumbs up, can they?
No, we can't.
Well, they can thumb
or we can't.
Yeah.
But they can give it to it.
Good or bad.
Chat, are we good tonight? How's the, we didn't ask him earlier.
Right.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Ron Jeet.
Ron Jeet's good, dude. You know,
trust Ron Jeet and I got. We can try his way and, you know,
trust all the guy, all diehards in chat room.
Yeah.
You guys tell us we're good, we're good.
We're good, audio not so, it's okay.
Ah, alright. No, they're not as good as last week.
Huh? Worse than last week?
It's okay.
Hey,
what was this like about
you? You got the volume all the way up.
It's all the way up.
Are we good over here?
Yeah. Everything's good. Volume all the way up?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what we got.
Definitely not as good as last week.
That's a downer. That's a thumbs down.
It's the same thing that happened originally. Our audio was fine. Even we had the mic here. And
right.
After 2 weeks, all of a sudden there's this big audio problem. We didn't change anything about what we did.
Yeah.
Last week, this is what we did with this ugly fucking stick. And it worked perfect.
They were going to paint this for us, right, but we didn't have time.
But this is what we did, and it worked perfect. This is the same thing we do this week. Doesn't work. Nothing's different about what we did, and yet it messed with the, fucking aggregate. I don't like it. But, anyways, the 9 o'clock.
Alright, no doubt. Alright, so that's, why don't we take a break, and then we'll come back, and, we'll finish up. I mean, it's better than it has been, right, guys? I mean, in previous years, it's been really bad in previous
years. Audio has multiple groups.
Alright, no doubt. So it's not that bad. We're doing alright. Alright, so, check it out. Rapid fire. This is where, rapid fire, yes. Let's put up the rapid fire. Tell them.
Well, if you would like to participate in the rapid fire, which we will get to in just a few moments after this break in our numero dos, you go ahead and you log on to facebook.com/.
You can't do that to me.
Brian Clark, WCR, you gotta hurry up. Facebook.com/. Brian Clark, WCR, get on over there, top those questions, your rapid fire questions or comments. Don't answer other people's, that's our job. Try not to make them big fucking paragraphs, that's a lot of reading, it takes too much time, we ain't got a lot of time this week. Get as many in as you want, we'll answer as many as you can in a rapid style fashion in hour number two. A little bit here after the break, one more time, that's facebook.com/. Brian Clark, WCR.
Alright guys, you're listening to WZR Radio.
Yes, you are.
With Matt Boone.
Me.
Ryan Clark.
Him.
Be back right after this. Finishing up Monday Night Raw and, taking your rapid fire questions. And Jim Ross. We're gonna talk about the,
you're an asshole, bro.
I'm on camera. Alright, fellas. We'll be right back.
I'll grab my dick for all of this too.
Alright, let's do it.
get right to it, man. We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
Look at him. He's cut it. This setup's got to change, man.
They didn't take the whole set down. Some people are graceful and some
aren't. Oh, man. What's up, man? All right, we're going to work on the music for you guys. I see you in the chat room. We're working, man. Just bear with us. You know, this is an ongoing project where, God, I'll tell you what, man. If we took week after week, we wouldn't have been here for the last, what, month?
It'd be a couple, at least.
Yeah, we're, you know, you got to bear with us while we do this. You know, we got the video. The video's fixed. The audio's pretty much, we're almost there. Phone calls, we are one step away, and it has to do with the program on Skype. So once we fix that, we are good to go on that.
You forgot.
What I forget? The ashtray. I did.
Oh,
damn it. All right. So anyways, we're working on it. Phone calls are coming, and we're still able to do rapid fire and everything else. So we're getting there. Bear with us. So we'll finish up Monday Night Raw real quick, and then we're only going to do, me and Boo were talking about it during the break, man. We're only going to do the high points and the low points. And then,
we already covered the Scott Armstrong title situation.
Right.
We covered the, basically we covered Ryback and Haley.
Yeah, let's talk about, I mean, we had Ziggler and Ambrose. It was pretty much a rematch from the pay-per-view. Ziggler actually picked up the win here, which was interesting. It was a non-title.
Set up another title match.
Right. That
needs to do that.
Continues. We had Fandango and R-Truth, kind of a whatever, throwaway type match, right? R-Truth came out rapping again. Talk about Dusty Rhodes, man. Dusty Rhodes bubble from all Raw last night. He's out.
Got to correct you. It wasn't a Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, it was Virgil
Runnels.
Yeah, Virgil Runnels. Okay, yeah. All right, no doubt.
His real name, which, by the way, for those who don't know, back in the day, Million Dollar Man had a servant slave guy, his manager, named Virgil. That was a knock on Dusty Rhodes, because at the time, Dusty was the Jim Ross, the Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. When he was that, Jim Crockett for NWA, which then came to the W. He was the guy who created Starcade.
I love this guy with the history lessons, man. He knows the shit, man.
He created Starcade, Halloween Havoc, the Great American Bash thing. He was the booker, basically. So he wasn't just a wrestler. He was the guy pretty much calling the shots, creating the direction of the company. He put the Clash of Champions up against WrestleMania and screwed with pay-per-view. So, Dusty was, he was Virgil. They made Virgil a black slave to the rich Million Dollar Man, and eventually saw himself as the Million Dollar Man character.
Right,
like,
right.
And my slave, Dusty. And then when Dusty came in, they put the polka dots on and they found him. When his son Goldust came in, they made him a fag cross dresser.
Right.
Gay cross-dressers, sorry. But, so they've always been fucking Dusty.
So what was your problem with the Dusty promo last
year? It was just the fact that it wasn't the Dusty. Dusty's, like, fun.
He's fun, but this is not a fun storyline.
Yeah. And it was basically just an excuse for Stephanie, who makes it very personal, the whole history.
I thought he kept cutting Steph off last night.
Yeah,
I thought she was going to get pissed.
But basically what I was saying, the whole point of this is so Stephanie can come out and talk, make an asshole out of Dusty on TV.
Right.
Right. She's always thinking it real personal. It's not well, like her chance to like get in his face and talk shit.
The basic gist of things.
Let it go.
Was
you won the war.
Right. The basic gist of it all was, listen, there's one job available. And it can either go to Goldust or Cody Rhodes. So you've got to pick between your two sons.
Yeah.
One of them gets a job, one of them doesn't.
His analogy was like, you got two daughters. How about
no, right.
How about you take them out to breakfast and you pick your favorite daughter, right? The other two go to bed. You're not even doing it. Like, that's what he said. You know, that's basically what you're asking him to do.
No,
I won't pick.
What is this? Okay, my original thought, and we put something up on the website today, you know, the Rhodes Dynasty against the Shield. And they were talking about doing all three members, which would be Dusty, Cody, and Goldust, or Dustin, against the Shield. With that being said, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Dusty's not in in-ring shape, okay?
They have Cody versus Goldust if the winner gets.
They could do Cody versus Goldust, or
we're gonna make your sons fight each other, and whoever's the better
son would go on to do that. If they don't do the one-on-one between, if they don't do the one-on-one, you know, who's the better son type deal, and they wanted to do that WrestleMania, they didn't set that up on Twitter.
It makes sense too, because like they're gonna force them to fight each other. Brothers are gonna have to fight each other.
With the stipulation of whoever wins gets
down. You're gonna cost your brother his career and you're gonna have to kick his ass.
Now, if they don't do so they could do the one on one, or they could do the 3-on-3, which is Dusty, Cody, and Dustin against the Shield.
Yeah.
I just don't think Dusty's in ring shape where they would put him in. Even though it's a tag team match, he's lost a lot of weight, but Dusty would barely have to, you know. He would basically come in and hit the bionic elbow, and then that would be it. That would be that would end. Or the last scenario is, they can do a 2-on-2 with Cody and Goldust team up against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. That would free up Dean Ambrose to have a match with Dolph Ziggler.
That makes
setting up space.
It makes a lot of sense.
It's either 2-on-2 and that frees up Ambrose, the 3-on-3, or the 1-on-1.
I don't know what they're gonna do. From what we heard, they're gonna do the 3-on-3.
What do you guys think in the chat room?
I don't see Dusty allowing Dusty to wrestle because they're carrying all the heart attacks. How would they let a guy even older than Lawler? He certainly has older. They wouldn't be in worse shape. You know, Lawler's never had a drink of alcohol, a cigarette, or a drug in his life.
After
the leanest wrestler ever, he still had that heart attack. Right? Which is funny because he blames it on the Dolph Ziggler 10 elbow drops.
Uh-huh.
And at the pay-per-view, Ziggler did 9 of them and turned around and pointed to Lawler.
Did he? I didn't know that.
Lawler even noted on commentary. Oh, that's something that'll kill somebody or something. Else.
He thinks they're gonna do the one-on-one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what they're gonna do. We've heard 3-on-3. That's what everybody's telling us. But I say what they should do, the most creative, is to make the sons fight each other. One of your sons is gonna have to beat the shit of the other one and cost him his career.
That's what, you know, Robbie agrees with Winner's Lair in the chat, you know, doing the one-on-one.
I've always wanted to see that anyway. Ever since that Royal Rumble where you can see the fired up fucking Cody when Goldust came in. He's like, I got goosebumps watching that. It was just really cool to see.
And they've been hyping that on Twitter too for over a while now, right?
Yeah,
they wanted to do it at WrestleMania. So most of the guys in the chat room are talking about the one-on-one match. That makes the most sense.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, the sons got to fight each other and the winner.
It's most creative.
Maybe have Dusty referee. Do something like that. You know, put Dusty in there somehow.
Yeah, Dusty has to count the three that cost his sons.
That cost his sons, right. See?
We're coming up with a better shit than that.
Dusty would have to, I love that idea, man. Dusty would be the special guest referee. He would have to make the
three. Dusty would have to, he's slow and he would have to drop down one, two, get back up, drop down one, two, you know.
Then we get back to the fast counts, the slow counts,
and
everything
that's
else.
A lot of movement. I don't think they would let a big guy do that much stuff because of health concerns. Who knows?
That would make a lot of sense though. Put Dusty in there.
Yeah.
What else on Raw? I know, you know, you said you didn't really like the promo. I thought it was a good back.
It's not that I didn't like it. I just was hoping
wanted funnier.
Not too much funny, but just more charismatic. More, and even if he's going to be serious.
Yeah.
My problem was he stuttered and stammered over his words so many times.
He did stutter and stammer over his words.
He said factually wrong things. Cody's a former four-time world champion.
Yeah.
tag champion.
Tag champion. Right.
Title, but tag title. But, you know, he just, stuff like that. It was just like, Dusty's supposed to be the killer of promos. And that's just holding it Dusty's promo.
We had a Total Divas versus the non-Total Divas this break here, right?
Yeah.
Total Divas match. We have Rob Van Dam and Damian Sandow. RVD picked up the win here. That's interesting. As I said previously, Damian Sandow might cash in during the RVD.
He's cashing in on Twitter, by the way.
Did he? Yeah. You're right.
Until I cash in. Hours, days, minutes.
Here's a big thing we need to talk about. Randy Orton gets the Miz. Kind of talked about it earlier. The Miz parents were at
Ringside. Yeah, we did.
Randy,
because earlier in the earlier in the night when Stephanie was screeching, because Randy Orton got Triple H to say, I want to know what's going on. And before Triple H could say anything, Stephanie cut his nuts off and made him look like the bitch. Like she wears the pants and the
yeah,
she
yeah.
jumped right in.
Hey! Yeah.
Like,
hey, shut up!
I've never heard such a screech.
Yeah, that was
Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah,
it was just that. Anyways, the point I was saying was because they said, we need the Randy Orton to come back that fucking handcuffed me to the ropes like you beat the shit out of Stephanie. Where's that guy? That's the Orton we need to represent this company. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
So this was the whole reason they did this right here. Miz comes out for a match before he could do anything. He's hugging his mom. Out comes Orton. And points his own beats the fuck out of him right in front of his parents. Proving that he's got that ruthless streak in him still. Does the great old, DDT off the barricade onto the floor instead of in the ring now.
The RKO that they, you know, it's his RKO, but it's off like the ring rope.
It's not an RKO. RKO is.
Oh, kind of. He takes and then he drops it down.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. You're right. All right.
But either way, instead of doing it in the ring, he does it on the floor. He did that for Dixon too,
but so Miz is gonna be off TV. They weren't doing much with Miz anyways, right?
You think he'll be off TV because of that?
I think so. I mean, they just come out pretty good. I mean, they hyped it up that he was
not doing us anyways.
Later in the night, they said that Miz's neck wasn't broken or something like that.
He talked about they broke his,
Oh god, it was, something weird. I want
to put a T, like
R. Thorax. The new Paul Heyman guy, Ryback.
We talked about that earlier. They did the promo here to pretty much confirm it.
Paul Heyman out in the wheelchair. Out since Ryback saved my life.
Yeah, well, Heyman got the wheelchair because, like you said, Punk kind of got to him and he beat the shit out of his wife with the kendo stick. So he's in a wheelchair and he didn't raise that up and he said, but before he could destroy me, it even said, I'm the new best in the world because I pin CM.
And he did. He did, and the announcers the night before.
Love the way he said his names now.
Yeah, the announcers the night before Night of Champions says, you know, Paul Heyman's never going to let this go. He pinned CM Punk.
It's a symposium. Mick Foley even said, how do you say that name again? Throw the extra syllable in? Because he says, A-Rock.
Yeah.
Let's rock is one syllable, but he's a rock.
A-Rock.
He turns it into like three, and now he says it's CM Punk.
Right.
He does that one, but anyways, he thanks Ryback, gives him a kiss on the cheek, which was fucking, I was marking out in here for that. I thought that was cool shit. But yeah, that's basically what happened there. Ryback said, as long as I'm around, it's dead, I'll never get beaten.
And then, I mean, we'll go straight to the main event here. We had, we pretty much ran down everything.
Fire Scott Armstrong,
we talked about that earlier. Scott's the main referee, too.
He was their senior official.
Yeah. Main event, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns.
I kind of missed this. I know at the end they had...
I mean, basically, first and foremost, they gave the match almost 20 minutes? 25 minutes?
They had
I mean, God, this thing started in about 10:40 Eastern time and went to 11:05. The ending of Raw, I'll give it. It was a lackluster pay-per-view. It was a lackluster Raw. But the ending of Raw last night where basically all the baby faces in the locker room. And the only two big names that came out were Ziggler and Bob Van Dam were out there. Everybody else is like primetime players, Zack Ryder, Kofi Kingston,
tons of fun.
But it was the baby faces in the locker room who had finally had enough. It was all the guys backstage when Daniel Bryan was walking to the ring, right? And they were all patting him on the back. Hey, good luck tonight, man.
Like embracing him. You're our guy. Kind of like when Bret Hart won the title at WrestleMania and everybody's sad.
Right.
A whole roster. put him up on their shoulders, like, this is our guy, not Lex Luger, this
and,
is our guy.
It was a cool way to end Raw, where the baby faces, the mid-card guys, the baby faces come out, mostly mid-card guys, Rob Van Dam and Ziggler.
By the way, did we even run down what they did with Dusty, with Big Show knocking him out?
No, they beat him down, Big Show.
What happened was Stephanie, because like we said, they made him pick between his two sons, he wouldn't do it. So they said, alright, well now you gotta pick between getting dismembered by the Shield. Doesn't that mean cutting your dick off? Or is that
dismembered means like cutting your body, body parts.
Okay. Yeah. I know decapitated head, dismembered, I always thought was like cutting your member off. But okay.
Not your dick.
Yeah.
It could be an arm, it could be a leg.
That's right. Right. Like that. Right. You're right, I'm wrong. How about that? Wow. 3 times in one show. Either way.
Woo!
But, so he had to choose between being dismembered by the Shield or getting knocked out by Big Show.
Yes.
Big Show stopped the Shield from doing anything, so then Roman Reigns grabbed 3 chairs. So they all got chairs. Now Big Show either has to stand there and watch him get shit out of him with 3 chairs, or he has to knock him out with one punch. He figures it's less violent to just hit him once. So he throws a jab like Ryan does.
He's and then caught him
to it.
He caught him.
Caught him kind of like,
right.
What was it, when Jericho and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. Remember, Jericho loses to Michaels. Seattle, but right after the match, they go to shake hands and hug, and Jericho goes, no, come here, give me a hug.
Right.
Afterwards, kicks him in the nuts, and Shawn looks at him like, why? And grabs on his body and slides down.
Right.
Why did you do that? It was the same kind of thing. Big Show knocks Dusty out, but catches him, goes the other one to fall, and like, gently sets him down, he's crying. Made me sick to see that, it's just stupid acting, bullshit. Unless they're going somewhere with it, they need to fucking stop that. But yeah, so then they stretched him out.
And that was that. And then the main event, like you said, the baby faces came out. The plan next week is for anybody that came out on Raw last night is for Triple H to basically say, all of you guys didn't do the right thing. But this is the one week where Triple H basically said to all the guys, you know, the previous weeks he had said, if anybody comes out, if anybody interferes, you get fired. This is the one week. Triple H didn't say that, and all the guys had the opportunity to come out.
These are the same guys that were afraid to even speak up,
Triple
let
H,
alone physically.
I can see it next week on Raw. Triple H is going to be out there and say, you know, Dolph Ziggler, I saw you out there. To the you know, Zack Ryder, I saw you out there. I saw you out there. I saw you out there. And he's going to put him in matches with different people. You know what I mean?
Make him pay for it.
Make him pay for
it. Yeah, I don't know if that's what we're doing. That's pretty good.
We put it up on the website today. So that's the pretty much anybody that came out last night. It's gonna be
they'll
play it off, you know, over the course of the week, whether it be tag team matches or
this, that, the other thing.
And the pay per view's coming up.
And even NXT, Triple H was at the NXT taping.
Right.
He fired what's his face is the GM of
NXT.
And renamed JBL new to
Who was it? Who was the NXT general manager?
Oh, I can't remember. Oh god damn, it's gonna bug me. Who was it?
Somebody in the chat room. NXT general manager.
Dusty Rhodes. Okay. Yeah, that's right. And then they made JBL the new one, the deal guy. And they had a lot of big names working matches. The NXT taking some pretty
Margie, I tell you what, brother, you are one of our most loyal diehard members.
And he's one smart dude.
Yeah. He's smart. Don't look that man in the camera. Anybody in the chat room? Are you guys,
He is 0-2, he said.
I thought he won the first
game. Wow, well, I'm 2-0, so it's so much luck there, buddy.
I still think
he should have gave me Calvin Johnson. Look what happened. Fucked up, buddy.
I still think he's got the best team. When I look at that, even his best players, I want to trade you.
He's got Peyton and he's got Calvin Johnson.
I need to start no Sean Moreno. That's what I need to do. The last 2 weeks, I've been killing it. But I don't want to do that because Denver starts three running backs and they alternate them throughout the game. But no Sean seems to get most of the carries. Yeah. So I need to start it.
Same with Reggie Bush and Joey Bell.
I'll trade you, Rygal. I like your bench players too, man. I like your bench players.
I'm not willing to trade anymore. The longest time I said I'll give you anything to Calvin Johnson. Guess what?
Yeah.
Go ahead and keep Calvin Johnson. I'll keep winning with the team I started with.
Alright.
I'm
0-2 in my other league, and I'm 1-1 in this league. I get Jim Ross. Jim Ross. We need to talk about Jim Ross. Let's get to the news. We put some news up. We already talked about SoCal Val getting arrested.
TNAWrestlingNews.com.
Jim Ross.
It all started at the WWE 2K14 symposium.
That's
SummerSlam Access weekend, and they had, you know, a couple of the newer guys, Rey Mysterio, Dolph Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, and then they had some legends like Steve Austin and Ric Flair and Paul Heyman,
right,
and Ric Flair. So they asked everybody for their favorite moments. Mick Foley, because they started, Jim Ross has everybody for their favorite moments, except for Ric Flair. Then he switched the topic, starts going on to something else, because they had a script they wanted Jim Ross to follow. Mick Foley interrupts and says, wait, why didn't you ask Ric Flair his favorite moment? So next thing you know, it became the Ric Flair show. He's talking about if Paulie Racing, Daniel Bryan, my God, what kind of champion is he? He's talking about TNA. He's talking about John Cena likes to drink. He didn't before I met him. Now he has a six pack a night. He's talking about, and this is really what surprised me, because apparently the one thing that bothered him more than anything was when he talked about Ric Flair, his son who died of a drug overdose, which touched him, but he didn't bring that part up. All he said was that his son died.
He mentioned TNA too, that was another thing.
He didn't mention the drug part of what I said. He said my son passed away. And the only reason he brought it up was because he wanted to point out how classy a company WWE was.
Right.
He said, I took my Hall of Fame ring off. Anybody who knows Ric Flair knows he treasures those things. I mean, on TNA television, the biggest storyline was Ric Flair and Hogan bragging about their Hall of Fame ring. Mm-hmm. Hogan gets the bitch's ring. Ric Flair comes out a 2-time Hall of Famer. He takes one of the rings. He says he puts it on Ric Flair's hand right before they close the casket and bury his dead son. He's telling the story. And because he didn't want to seem like playing favorites, like Dusty didn't want to do his kids, he gives David Flair the other Hall of Fame ring. And he says, to show what a classy company WWE is, he goes to one of the events, whatever, and Triple H pulls the Scott Cliff. And he's in trouble. And it turns out that they give Ric Flair an extra Hall of Fame ring and engraved on it, something about Ric Flair. Long story short, WWE's pissed that he's bringing this up, and who gets fired as a result? Jim Ross.
So what happened?
What did Jim Ross expect to do?
So what happened is that was about 3 weeks ago. What Bill just talked about, and they were pissed off. And at the time, we reported on the website that listen, WWE management was kicked off, but 2K, which was the company in charge of putting on the event, they were happy with it.
Really?
And they were extremely happy with the extra media attention that
not
it
only
garnered,
that, but that it made it more entertaining. It seemed very stale and like
right,
more like scripted, like which it was. They like it. Ric Flair made it more loose and fun and energetic.
And then when the stuff came out online about Ric Flair, you know, going off and being drunk and Jim Ross
being drunk,
they got all this extra media attention, and it all revolved around
their company, promotes the game, they get extra
fun. They were happy. Stephanie McMahon went and apologized to 2K, and they said, we really don't have a problem with it. So about 2 or 3 weeks passed, and when the news first came out, there was talk that, you know, Ric Flair was supposed to make a cameo at SummerSlam. He was immediately pulled. He was supposed to sign a contract as an ambassador for WWE,
like a legend.
That is all off, and Ric Flair, although it hasn't been reported, Ric Flair fired. Okay,
he's fired. He's not re-signed.
He's gone. He was never signed in the first place.
But he was going to be re-signed.
Could be re-signed, if he was re-signed, he would have been fired, and that would have been done.
And because he was going to be re-signed, they said no, we're not re-signed.
About 2 or 3 weeks went by, and everybody thought that things had kind of calmed down.
Or just it was done.
It was done.
Ric Flair didn't get signed. We're moving on. Now let's
Ric Flair didn't get signed. We're moving on. Everything's done.
In the past.
Or
so we thought.
They contacted Jim Ross at some point last week, early in the week or over the weekend, and told him that after the TV tapings on Monday and Tuesday, they wanted to see him in Stamford, Connecticut. That takes us to Wednesday. Jim Ross flew in on Tuesday night.
The day after our show.
And everybody knew on Tuesday night that Jim Ross is in town. He's in Stamford. And they kind of had a feeling that this may be it for Jim. There's going to be a meeting.
They knew there was a meeting.
There were very few people that knew about it, those being, you know, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, I mean, people like that, and Jane, Godfrey,
Pitch from Total Divas.
Right.
Pitch from Total Divas.
Sorry. So anyway, there are very, very few people. There was a meeting between Vince McMahon and Jim Ross. I believe it was just those two. Don't know who else was involved.
Might
have been there. But it basically came to Vince McMahon saying, hey, man, what happened 2 or 3 weeks ago at SummerSlam
Symposium?
You know, and they got into it. And, you know, it went back and forth. And from what's come out, and Jim Ross, Vince McMahon's not going to give you the details on the meeting. You're not going to hear from Vince McMahon. And Jim Ross is too classy of a guy to come out and trash the company. So whatever happened in that meeting.
The whole point of the retirement is that they wanted to put a public
spin.
He's retiring gracefully with his dignity intact. It's not a big controversial thing.
It was basically Vince McMahon and Jim Ross in a meeting, and Vince McMahon says, you know what? You're not doing much for us in the first place anyways. You're not a full-time announcer. Maybe it's time with the symposium and everything else. Maybe it's time for you, you know, part. And they ended the meeting with Jim Ross walking out, and the public spin, as you say, was Jim Ross retired. Now, Jim Ross came out, he was on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani the other day, and, you know, we put the quotes up, and although he didn't flat out, you know, come out and say, yeah, I was forced out of WWE, he insinuated that he was.
On the MMA Hour?
I put a recap up. Well, the quote that I have on the website kind of insinuated that, you know what, it was the best time for me to leave WWE.
He said, sometimes you hear that there's a public thing that really, behind the scenes, is not what everybody thinks. He said, we heard you retire. Behind the scenes, I'm kind of hearing that it wasn't the case. Sometimes that's, and he said, now, tell us what really happened. And he's like, well, and he was very diplomatic about it.
You're right. And then, you know, Jim came out with a tweet and said, you know, that his wife Jan had asked him, you know, I thought you were retired. And he said, no, I'm not retired. I'm going on to my next gig. You know what I mean? So Jim Ross, I mean, listen, the guy had no plans to retire. He talked about loving WWE.
He specifically said on his UK speaking tour, who's that? You know, how much longer can you, he specifically said, I have no plans to retire.
I have no plans to retire. And he said this a couple of weeks ago. Before the meeting with Vince McMahon. So he had no plans to retire from WWE.
No.
And the fact that WWE says, you know, he retired, they forced him into basically quitting the company. And then the public spin, like Boone said, is, hey, we're going to put it out there that you're retiring. Well, you're retiring from WWE, and that's, you know, what WWE...
What they were trying to avoid is what's happening. They didn't want the big backlash from the fans, because they know how beloved JR is. Not only by the fans, but by the rest, especially the veteran wrestlers like Undertaker and people like that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they tried to leave with dignity, and publicly it looked like you retired and you stepped out on your own, but secretly we're saying, you fucking asshole, you screwed that whole thing up, get out of here.
Secretly, we are saying, fuck you, you're fired, man.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to, man. No matter, I mean, there are some people that are going to believe public spin, you know, he really retired from WWE.
And
you got to remember that a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, Jim Ross said he had no plans to retire from WWE. So the fact that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's retired after, we know that they were pissed off at the whole
symposium. That's what I was going to say. Let's not forget. This was specifically the reason he was fired. Was because of that.
And anybody should have been fired should have been Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Why
could Jim, let's put it this way. Let's say Michael Cole was the host of that event.
What could Michael Cole have done?
Probably would have been even worse. Jim Ross really was like, Mick Foley, let me run this thing here. I got it under control. He's basically telling him, shut up, let me do my job.
He tried his ass off, telling Rick, alright,
calm down.
All right,
Rick. He would say something and Rick would start talking. God, he's got a story about that. Like, he's trying his ass
off to get it right on track.
So hard.
Michael Cole, anybody else running that thing would have probably done a worse
job. I don't care.
Would have probably done a worse job. Would they have fired Michael Cole?
Absolutely not.
No, of course not.
Absolutely not. They have been fun with their ass about Jim Ross.
Right.
I told you, Vince McMahon has never liked Jim Ross.
He's never liked him.
No, he hasn't.
And the fact is, this was their opportunity.
He's jealous of how respected he is as an announcer.
Maybe that's what it is.
Because when JR came in, Vince was the announcer.
Vince was the announcer.
Right. JR came in, everybody's like, all JR said, isn't it? You know, so it became JR's main job to announce.
The way that they have treated him, and I understand that
PWI magazine would make Jim Ross the announcer of the year.
What you guys see on TV is storyline and everything else, but Jim Ross is fired, but they still, every time they're in Oklahoma, they embarrass the shit out of the guy. They get off.
Let's not forget that famous parody, the Oklahoma thing with MCW, with Ed Ferrara fucking making the Bell Palsy face.
Oh yeah,
guess where that started? As a closed door joke with Vince Russo, right. Ed Farrow, when they were still with WWE's writers,
where they
Vince.
Make fun of it.
They would do that for Vince. Vince would fucking laugh his ass off. So they put it on TV when they would.
It's like a high school locker room in WWE, and they get off on shit. You know the way that Jim Ross looks, and the way that the Southern accent, the barbecue sauce.
Let's say he's got colon cancer, he could die in surgery, and what does Vince do?
The mock it.
Dr. Heine, let's pull a bunch of shit. Let's pull his own head out of his ass. Continuing that he's always had his head up his ass. Like, it's just, they fuck with them. They love fucking with them.
And this was their opportunity.
They fired him
get
so
ripped.
Many times. Well, let's not forget, Jim Ross is the reason Steve Austin came to WWE.
He was head of talent release.
Foley, Brian Pillman, the list goes on and on. He recruited Brock Lesnar straight out of college, Shelton Benjamin. Really, the fucking guys that are running the show right now. You pretty much have to credit the JR for recruiting them or signing them or both.
They don't give him any credit for any of that shit.
Any chance they get, they fuck with them. He's been fired three or four times over the years.
That he has never come out, no matter what happens on TV, even when he gets fired in real life. He has never bashed the company.
No.
He'll joke about
that Vince likes to fire me and blah, 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 but he'll never bury him.
He is the most classiest son of a bitch.
He's got class to share, man. He's got that much class. That motherfucker is my hero. Let's put it that way.
Right.
If that was me or Boone,
and we're writing blogs all the time, and what happened last Wednesday happened to me, you'd see a blog on there from me telling you how things actually went down. Instead, Jim Ross thanks WWE. Thanks Vince McMahon. And no doubt he's been there for years, but the way he's been treated, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And that's what it comes down to. The main story is up on the website. You guys have all seen it. Everybody listening.
Well, that's the other thing, a lot of guys, you know what happened?
Well,
in this situation, they get fired and they put it in the public another way, retired. That's when guys like Shad would come to you and be like, here's what's really happening.
Right.
Tell my story because you're the only guy, you know, reporters exactly. are the only way we can get the truth out. Jim Ross does not do that. He does not go to the reporters like me or you or the other guys.
He keeps
his mouth shut. He's professional. Fuck it, I'm fired. Let's go look at UFC. Let's go look at this job.
And I'm moving on. I'm going to the next.
If I had a hat, I'd fucking tip my cap to you. He should, but he would never take his hat off. You know, even for Jim Ross, I'd say take that hat off and show you respect. But no, I'd tip my hat to that.
I respect the hell out of you, Jim Ross.
I really do. He's
very crafty.
He's probably
the best announcer in WWE.
Not just announcer, the best talent. J.J. Dillon didn't do half the job he did. J.J. Dillon was in an era where he could just grab guys from WCW and put a gimmick on in WWE.
Right.
Jim Ross had to do it when there was no WWE, or when he was competing against WCW.
WCW
had all this money. JR had to go to college and recruit football players and amateur wrestlers to try and grow them from nothing.
Right.
You know, and WCW had all this money. We'll just buy this guy, that guy. J.J. Dillon had the opportunity. We'll take this territory. AWA guys,
right.
NWA guys, packaging it, repackaging it, WWE. Jim Ross was doing it from scratch. So he's got an eye for talent, he's the best announcer, he's a fucking grade A professional.
And you know what? I mean, let's say this. I mean, let's say that they ever get the WWE network off the ground. I'm not saying that Jim Ross is never going to be back in WWE. Maybe he is. Maybe they'll bring him back to the network. But as of now, the reason that Jim Ross is gone from WWE is not a retirement. The guy had no plans to retire. He was basically forced out of the company. And that's where we're at. He was fired. Yeah. Jim Ross was fired from WWE.
You were saying with the network. If they come out with that network,
I got news for you. If they're gonna show all this old stuff, like they just did the Mid-South DVD, they had Jim Ross redub their commentary over the match.
And Jim Ross,
and he has the original announcer anyway.
What is he, out of retirement? Is that gonna be, oh, Jim Ross comes out of retirement? You fired him. You guys fired him, yeah. Man. That's exactly what happened.
But
man,
like, if the network, if they need somebody to go in and do stuff with the old videos, because they own all the tape libraries of all these other independent, or not independent, these old territories, these old promotions.
Uh-huh.
There's very few guys that had the knowledge of what was going on in those days, and the individuals involved, the wrestlers of those eras, the promotions of those eras, the things that were going on. Jim Ross, Jim Cornette, J.J. Dillon, there's a very select few guys that could come in and be like, here's what was going on, here's how we present the story.
I've seen comments on my Facebook page where people are saying, you know, Jim Ross, well, he wasn't barely being used anyway. You know what, though? He was, man, and that's not the point. That in the last couple of years he had barely been used. It's the point that he's had a 20-plus year tenure.
No, he was barely used on TV. He was still doing a lot of shit.
He was doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and not only that, but he's got 20-plus tenure. And that's not the way that you treat somebody over something that
I know something about that. I spent about 14 years with a guy and just woke up one day and threw me out the fucking garbage.
That's not the way you treat a guy that's done so much for you, that's brought in probably your biggest name ever in Steve Austin, Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, The Rock, you know, people like that. But
they
one year,
the ringmaster on them, they didn't even realize what they had. Jim Ross was like, "Oh, God, he's the real deal."
It's
not that he would ever take credit.
That's the whole point.
He'd be the first guy to tell you, no, Austin did it himself. Foley did it himself.
It's not about the point where you know, we haven't seen him on TV, and he did a lot of stuff behind the scenes that you guys weren't aware of. That you know, it's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. Who's this in the chat room? It says that Reinhardt's biggest fan. He says, you know, we're gonna get SmackDown and main event spoilers up, but here's a spoiler for you. At the main event television tapings, I trust this guy. I just was in here every week.
It's weird that they were doing a main event.
Yeah, it was on main event. Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton are gonna face each other for the vacant WWE title at the Battleground pay-per-view. We talked about that now in number one.
We knew that they were gonna do a rematch. The only question is, will it be a gimmick match? Will it be a special ref? Will it be some kind of stipulation?
Right.
Something's got to be different. They can't do another thing.
Right. Thing. Well, they'll probably announce that on SmackDown or on Raw next week. I mean, we've only got 2 weeks for next week's Raw. October 6th is Battleground. So, October 6th is the next pay-per-view, so you've only got 2 or 3 weeks before, you know, Battleground. So they've got to start making matches right now, and they didn't do much on Raw last night. I think we're going to see Ryback versus CM Punk.
Yeah.
Ryan Kirk's biggest fan in the chat room, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan.
It's now the advertising for the Survivor Series in Boston.
Right.
Say also Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton for the title. They say CM Punk will finally once and for all.
They were going to keep that storyline with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton going for months.
Yeah, but also the Heyman thing is supposed to be going to keep going. They said once and for all is the quote. Punk will get his hands on Heyman, so maybe it'll be the 101, maybe, you know,
something like that. Right. In other news, we can do this all in one. Let's talk TNA contracts real quick.
A lot of people.
Ken Anderson, AJ Styles, and Mickie James. That's what we're going to talk about right now. AJ Styles.
We're going to do the Hogan and TNA taking in.
We're going to talk about that. That's next. With the contract, you're right. We'll talk about AJ Styles. Signed a short-term deal with TNA, runs through December.
And now they're doing the gimmick where Dixie's the heel promoter, AJ.
Impact spoiler for next week. AJ Styles comes out and calls out Dixie Carter next week. That's what we'll talk about. Dixie Carter makes it on that. He basically turns heel.
Yeah, like, absolutely. But, AJ Styles' gimmick is that, you know, he's on time now, and so they're doing it on TV. But, he did sign a short-term deal, which gets him through Bound for Glory, because he ended up winning the Bound for Glory series.
Through December, actually.
Because he won the Bound for Glory series, so he will be facing either Bully Ray or, who's Bully Ray's next challenger?
Bully Ray,
played Samoa Joe on the card this weekend at the house show.
Bully Ray. I don't know who Bully Ray's facing. I don't think they have a match confirmed yet. I know that, well, AJ Styles gets to go against Bully Ray because he won the Bound for Glory series.
He gets to face the champion.
He gets to face the champion, whoever that is. So it's going to be Bully Ray. They don't have,
by the way,
the next pay-per-view is Bound for Glory. They only do four.
Yeah, but they have another TV special, I think. Or no.
I don't think
Bound for Glory is October.
Right.
Okay. By the way, Bray Wyatt did come.
Alright, so AJ Styles signed through
December. You know who Bray Wyatt's dad is?
I do.
Remember Irwin R. Scheister?
I do. Did you really? Get out of here. Wow.
Mike Rotunda.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah,
no
his uncle
shit.
Is like Barry Windham is his uncle, I think.
Like
that.
I didn't know he had all
those
ties.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bo Dallas as well. That's right. Bo Dallas is his brother.
Brother?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know that. But Ron G. That truck.
So. Ron G.
Yeah.
God damn. Give it up for Ron G. Ron G. Give it up.
Virtual foe.
For the jam for you.
Virtual
jam. Foe! Alright, so AJ Styles signed through December. Mickey James' TNA contract recently expired.
Today.
They are, was it today?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday or today, they are.
They offered her a new deal.
She rejected
it. Now they're going to another
round of talks.
Yeah.
So they are trying to get her to resign. Whether it works out, we don't know yet.
Probably the deal is the same with Styles. I think they're all getting
less money.
Or I think Mickey's obviously getting less off.
Right.
Oh yeah. So they're cutting costs.
Across what's the board. Gonna do? Go back to WWE. I mean, they called the Piggy James in the way. You know what I mean? And then the other one is Ken Anderson. They did a major beatdown this past week on Impact. They took him off TV. There are some reports on some websites. They turned him babyface, and then Bully Ray did the beatdown, and they wrote him off TV. There are some reports on some websites that claim that Ken Anderson has re-signed with TNA. Not the case. They are in ongoing talks right now. We put it up on TNAWrestlingNews.com. There has been no deal signed as of right now, as of earlier today. No deal between Ken Anderson and TNA. So they are talking, same thing with Mickey James, but as of right now, Mickey James and Ken Anderson are not in TNA.
And I was going somewhere with the fact that they tried to cut Styles' pay.
Right.
They probably cut Mickey James' pay. Do you think they're going to cut Hogan's pay when this contract comes up?
That's a good lead-in because Hulk Hogan and TNA contract put it up on the website today, expires October 1st. The very beginning of October. That's interesting because Bound for Glory is about 2 or 3 weeks after that.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with Hogan? Hogan and Bischoff, and that leads us into our next, story here is Hogan and Bischoff. A lot of people in TNA rolling their eyes. Hogan and Bischoff are the main people behind
TNA. Bischoff is mainly the creative guy.
We need to go to Monday nights. Failed. Didn't work. Now we need to take Impact on the road. To put on an Impact show, and this is the reason that they
talked about this a couple weeks ago.
$600,000. Okay?
Instead of the free, no ticket money, but
right.
the amount of money they make off tickets versus the amount of money it costs to produce live TV and to go on the road and have all that production equipment.
Cost WWE over $1 million every single week. Put on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it wouldn't be nearly as much as TNA.
But TNA, is about 600,000 every
number?
Single week.
Fucking pretty penny, man.
With the tractor trailers and hauling the
equipment. Guess what? The rating doesn't make a damn bit of difference.
And the hope was that by going on the road and doing a live or a taped Impact, you would have a larger crowd. It would look more full in the arena. That hasn't happened. Yeah. So basically, they're wasting $600,000 every single week.
Because the rating doesn't look any different. TV looks exactly the same.
Nothing.
You couldn't change it. I would have no idea.
You have no idea that they were having the impact.
No. I mean, I would kind of, but does it make a difference that they're having the impact though? Does the show any better because of it?
You can't really tell.
Oh, we're going to have different crowds. Really, so what?
So now they are looking at a permanent location in either Florida or Las Vegas. It would save them a lot of money. They're probably screwed out of the Impact Zone, and that's been taken
over by somebody else. Dixie never really liked that.
Right, that deal. This is the second fail. There's been a lot of fails, Hogan, Bischoff, and they will place the blame on everyone and anyone but themselves when they're the ones. They basically demanded, we need to go to Monday Night, we need to take Impact on the road, and everything that they demanded, they got. And Nixie has given it to them.
It's cost
them
a shitload of money. It
cost them a lot of money.
And all these cuts, all these guys that, like, AJ Styles, fucking
and
where's
loyal.
Where's the rating? Let's put it this way. On a small level in JR, AJ Styles is the loyal fucking...
Been there since the beginning.
Yeah, and then there's the anchor of the company, and he's always loyal, and he's a hard worker. You can never fucking give him... You can never say he's phoned in a night of work. He's always giving it all.
But
and now here's the reward.
We gotta cut your pay.
And everybody, what? all these people, you know, like Facebook, Impact, there, TNA needs to take Impact on the road. They took it on the road, and nothing happened, guys. Nothing happened, right? Nothing.
Dark off.
The ratings haven't gone up. Nothing happened.
Big waste of money.
Is it worth $600,000 every? No, it's not. We need to find a permanent location for Impact to, you know, to be based.
See, Hogan and Bischoff are still, they're like the stuff you're saying. Let's take it Monday night. Let's do this. Forget the fact that creatively they keep going back to WCW and trying to do what fucking didn't work or did work and then ended up failing. They used to have Ted Turner's bankroll to do this kind of shit. We need to go live. We need to go on the road. We need to do this internationally. Blah, 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 blah. They've got these billionaire companies with a panda behind them, but they don't have the same budget as Ted Turner was going, you know, with the, you know, with WCW. So they're doing all this shit that costs so much money thinking like, it's still WCW. It's a completely different day and age. You cannot just waste through this fucking money and expect, like, all right, well, we'll just waste more because they got it and they don't mind spending it. They do mind because now they're cutting costs across the board. They're cutting all these wrestlers that should be staying. They're fucking offering you guys like Styles less money. It's outside.
But, bugging me. I'm listening to you. You're making a great point right now, but yeah. That's bugging me, man.
Yeah, I completely lost what I was saying there. But anyway, long story
bugging you too, man. It's a beeping
point. I don't know. Long story short, when Hogan's contract comes up, it'll be real interesting to see because they're cutting costs across the board.
I think Dixie's a mark for Hogan.
It is. And I think that they think they need Hogan because it makes them look like a major league company when in reality, whether Hogan's there or not, that rating's going to be a 1.0. That pay per view, whatever, it's gonna be around the same. Mm-hmm. Sell the same amount of tickets, sell the same amount of pay per views. What's the fucking Hogan does all this media, he doesn't even mention TNA, so it's not like, oh, we need the media attention. The media attention doesn't help either way anyway. They need to cut that guy's fucking cost or get rid of him and use that money to fucking sign guys that can actually make a difference.
So what are we gonna do, brother?
I don't know.
I don't know, dude. What are you gonna do, Jack?
I'll tell you what.
Are we gonna re-sign Hogan, brother?
Brother, we're gonna get into a little bit of rapid fire right now.
Yeah, buddy. Alright, rapid fire. We got 8 minutes, man. 8 minutes.
Let's do it rapid
bang,
fire.
Bang, bang, bang. Ready? Right. Here we go. I'll pick the first one. The Brian Parker wears Anthony Rundy's t-shirt. Man, we talked about it now at number one. Bro.
Brother.
I promise you, next week, man.
Alright, Anthony Remy.
Hey, there you
got my shirt. And to the chat, I will not turn heel. What's the deal with TNA running an event in New York? They're not going to be Madison Square Garden, obviously. WWE has the rights to that.
First of all, the rental fees in MSG are insane and WWE has to
exclusive. Yeah, it's either going to be the Nassau Coliseum, Izod Center, or the Barclays Center.
And don't rule out, I know they're talking about a major venue, like Boone said, don't rule out the Hammerstein Ballroom. That place holds 4,000 to 5,000 people.
You consider that major though?
It's not a major venue, but it does hold 4,000 or 5,000 fans and TNA house shows.
Yeah.
Draw about.
It would be a major building. I heard that they're going to run, or a major crowd. I heard a major venue, like in a prestigious building.
So Hammerstein Ballroom, as I put up on the website, is very unlikely the arenas to boom.
Barclays Center, Izod Center, or the Nassau Coliseum.
Those are way more likely than the Hammerstein Ballroom. And let's see, Paul Velasquez, quite frankly, I think there is more to the JR story. Nobody here was behind the doors to know what really went down. Option Prince was a mutual deal. Anyways, it was not, man. I can promise you it was not. What is Kane Return to Progress, the storyline with the Wyatts?
He's doing the CM Evil 2. They just released their cast and production stuff for that. So they're going to do that, and I guess they're bringing it back, and that's what Wyatt's going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, why would they keep him on ice the whole time.
They're doing the Wyatt family vignette.
Yeah. Keep him on TV and keep everybody's mind. Yo, Ryan, Dick Scott. Yo, Ryan, I sent in four is the number. I sent in four emails about a new bit and you did put it on your site. What the fuck? It was meeting the Big Show and man, he was really a prick to me. So I guess it's the Big Show and Big Show was a loser.
If you send it to my Facebook inbox, I do not check Facebook inbox. Then you got to email webmaster@prowrestlingscoops.com and nothing about Big Show came in there, man. So webmaster@prowrestlingscoops.com, that's where you want to send all the news. Facebook inbox, I'm telling you, man, I do not check it. AJ Clark, the difference between pay-per-view and Raw is You pay for no commercials on a pay-per-view. You stream pay-per-views or order them. I'm the biggest fan. To be honest with you, I do an illegal stream. And I'll promote them right here, right now, WBSports.net. They're great people. You pay $10 or $15 a month.
.net?
.net.
It's WBSports.com.
I don't know. Yeah. You pay $10 or $15 to get UFC, WWE, and TNA.
Well with it. Very reliable. AJ Clark. Oh, sorry. Brian Parker. Boone, any good real wrestling fighting stories you want to share?
We don't have enough time, really. We'll talk about it next week. God, there's a Boone's got some good stories here. Matt Johnson, I thought Raw was very well done in terms of storyline progression and story building. Question from The Shield. Who will be the top star out of the three?
All three will be top. Who gets the first to get the main event?
I think Roman Reigns is very good. He's Roman Reigns, the big man. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Tyler Black, and Dean Ambrose on the indie team. They're the better workers. But Roman Reigns does have to work.
They're the better workers in terms of
wrestling
workers. Yeah, but I think WWE style wrestling, I think probably WWE use them all pretty much equal. Because that spear that Roman Reigns does is impressive for his size.
Roman Reigns got the look, like you said.
Plus, he can do the strongman shit. Right. He's got the look, he's got the relations with Rock and the fucking Samoan and all that. He's got the look, yeah. I think Dean Ambrose will break out to be the best talk.
In my opinion, I'd say Dean Ambrose.
Christopher Brown, given that Jenner was basically thrown out of his ass for refusing to babysit Flair at the WWE 2K press conference, can you see WWE as a whole clamping down on current talent wanting to do outside projects more than they have in the past?
I don't think it's possible to clamp down anymore. They don't let them do anything unless they're part of it. You've got to be a company man.
If you write a book, they've got to be the publisher. If you do a DVD, they've got to be the publisher.
Everything.
So, yeah. They don't be able to do it anymore. Don't you fucking read that.
What's this one? Right here?
This would be the one.
Oh, alright. What do you mean, man? Brian Parker, why do you delete people for expressing their opinions? What are you talking about? I haven't deleted anybody in ages. Any legit ghost, alien stories? Would you bang Mae Young for $500,000?
What the hell does this guy want to bang Mae Young?
I haven't deleted anybody off Facebook in years. Although, I will say this, man. There was, somebody that emailed me, and I still need to get back to you. After the Mayweather fight on Saturday night, I went on Boone's Facebook page and I said some stuff that I shouldn't have said, and I apologize.
That was a low blow.
We had a lot of beers on Saturday night. I did go back and I took it off Boone's page. The stuff that I said on there, I shouldn't have said. He said he's a big fan of WZR TV, WZR Radio. He's listened to us for years.
He said himself that we've got a stomach.
Right, beers that says some dumb shit too. And I'm gonna get back to you in that email, man. It did touch me, man. When I read it, I woke up the next morning, I read your email, and it made a lot of sense, man. I'll look you right in the camera and say my apologies for those comments. Mae Young, $500,000.
I had Viagra to get it up, and like act like fucking. By the way, my new favorite Diva goes in the car.
Yes.
I've got AJ Lee as number one. She'll probably never not be number one. She's so fucking sexy. And then number two, Eva Marie. Marie used to be Stephanie McMahon, but I like Son of Ray now. That backlit shit she was wearing and
the split is
goddamn, she's good looking. Brandon Dublevin. Do you think the Wyatt family and CM Punk will feud with each other after he's done with the Heyman storyline? I think that would be a very creative.
Wyatt.
I would love it. The promo, the match would be probably great. Yeah, I would like that idea. I don't think they will, but I think it would be great.
Jim Nicholson, talking about what we talked about earlier, Big Show, Goldust, and Cody against The Shield.
Brian Parker, what's the exclusive unreported news? We talked about that earlier too. You gotta check the archive. Vincent
Nugent, with the way TNA's been having financial issues recently, be cut down. By the way, to answer Brian's last question, I have a default thing, and a lot of times we do report stuff that's not up on the website. There are weeks that we don't put it up, or that we don't reveal something that hasn't been reported on the website, but I do have. It's a default thing.
I'm trying to come for you, man.
And I know. And I may need to change that. You may be right where this week, pretty much everything we talked about has been up on the website. So my apologies for that. Maybe I should go back and edit the stuff that I have pre-typed for every few minutes.
Yeah, you need to lighten up a little bit.
Vincent Nugent, with the way TNA has been having financial issues recently, they cut down on things. What do you guys think TNA is headed in the months ahead and next year? I don't think they're about to go out of business or anything like that, but they are just trying to cut costs, and I'll say they're going to be around for a couple more years.
I think. I'll say this next year will be really interesting.
Next year will be
And I think it'll be very, what's the word? It'll be very crucial for the future of the company.
I think
it's running on business.
With all these contracts, top contracts firing Sting, Hogan, Bischoff, etc., and all the cost cutting we'll see that.
Yeah, I think it's crucial here in terms of if they don't start making money or at least losing less money, I think they're going to have to really look at that thing.
They're going to have to look at it.
And to get rid of it or make a few changes, more so than they already are now.
Right.
This is my opinion. Brandon Dub Blevin, when do you think Sandow will cash in his Money in the Bank?
I think they're going to take it into next year.
I think the idea now is try and have everybody forget about it so that when they need something fresh or shocking, you know, when they have like nothing to do at a pay-per-view, like, oh, let's have Sandow cash in. They kind of played out in fact for the longest time. He was carrying it around, leather thing, my buddy's cashing in.
We're going a couple minutes late. We got about 10 more of these guys. Michael Benitez, Kurt Angle in his prime versus Bret Hart in his prime. Who will win? Ooh, man, that's a tough one.
We're talking about workers. Shoot,
we're talking about in-ring workers. You know, I guess
Bret Hart was considered a shooter. He's saying who would win in a shoot? Angle was in his prime.
I'd say Angle.
Angle left would be the only competition.
We'll say Angle.
Yeah, Angle. And as far as work rate, Bret was a better worker. I say Angle. Angle.
Angle's a beast.
Angle, that's hard to say, because Angle can do some of the high-flying stuff, too. So.
Sure.
Garrett Hill. Sandow cashes in, and Cody robs him of the win. He doesn't see this coming. It's predictable as a fast count Angle was.
Yeah, but Sandow's not involved in the whole Cody Rhodes storyline right now.
I think once Cody gets his job back, it's time to do something besides...
Cody would have to be World Heavyweight Champion, or Cody would come after
Sandow. Sandow would cash in a win, Cody robs him of the win.
Okay.
Well, Sandow cashes in.
Yeah, right.
And when he goes to win, Cody comes out and stops him.
There you go. That's not bad.
And he doesn't get cashed in.
Because with the creative fuck up and everything,
yeah.
With Cody and Sandow. Let's see. Vincent Nugent, you got a couple here, man. We'll give you one or two more. Who do you guys think Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s next opponent's going to be since he put one hell of a dominant showing against
Canelo Alvarez?
Right. Let's see. Floyd Mayweather, who's next?
I don't know. There's really nobody. You just take somebody and try and build them. Maybe they can finally get back out together. I don't know. We'll see.
Who do you think his next opponent is? The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I like Jarrett's reply to you.
Alright,
one more from you. We'll take one more.
He thinks that Sandow and Cody Cashman did it. Vincent Nugent, Ryan and Matt. Is this one?
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine.
Okay, is this one?
Yeah, that's fine.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think about the overall UFC 165 event for this upcoming Saturday night? Who do you think will win the co-main event? Co-main event is UFC Intercontinental Champion Henry Moral, Eddie Weiland. Main event is UFC Light Heavyweight Title John Jones. I was in a group. Who do you guys think will win the fight?
Where they?
John Jones killed Jones.
Yeah, no doubt.
And Moral will beat Weiland.
I'll go Weiland just to go against
you. Moral looks really good.
And the last one here from Robert Fisher. You think it will be Daniel Bryan versus Kane for the title at Hell in a Cell? No, I think Kane comes back. He's going right back into the storyline with Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. And Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, that's going to continue from what we've heard for the next Survivor Series.
Yeah,
through Survivor Series. So Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton pretty much locked up, and Kane comes back right back into the Wyatt family.
Yeah, but then after those two programs are done, John Cena will be back by January, so we could switch to the John Cena being the focus and all that, and then Daniel Bryan would have to have something to do, Kane would be done with Wyatt, who has something to do, they could be a tag team, makes kind of sense.
Good show tonight, brother.
Alright.
Another good one, another Tuesday night. We will work on the audio, and we're going to work on the live phone calls for you as well for next week. Thanks to everybody that came out in the chat room tonight. Thanks to everybody that comes out every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, WBROnline.com. Check the website over the course of next week. Never know if it's going to be a busy week or not, but we'll see. See what's happening. Never know. Alright guys, we'll talk to you guys next Tuesday night, 8 to 10 Eastern Time, for Matt Boone! That's me!
This is Ryan Clark.
That's him.
And see you next Tuesday night, 8 to 10 Eastern Time, WZR TV.